This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
From the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of my basement here in New York on Long Island, it is the Zach Gelb Show coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We welcome you in on this Wednesday, whether you're listening to us across one of your great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, SiriusXM Channel 206, or the radio.com application. You could always interact with the show in a few ways. First off, on the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Make sure you give me a follow. Make sure you send me your tweets on our network's account as well, at CBS Sports Radio. And then, of course, you have the telephone lines at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. We got a great crew today, as always. Stuart Kovacs back in our New York City studios. Got Mikey B and Tom DiBenedetto on location producing this extravaganza, and we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Guest-wise, for the next 4 hours, coming up at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, we will have the Pac-12 commissioner in Larry Scott. And then at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, Justin Termini of NBA, SiriusXM NBA Radio is going to stop by as well. We got a poll question for you. We got basketball. We finally have the format. We'll get to all that and end the show in style with the closing bell, and also sprinkle in a news brief and a Week 16 simulation as well in the National Football League. And we're actually going to start with football today. And there's clearly been a lot of reaction, and we have heard the reaction, we have seen the reaction to the tragic murder of George Floyd that occurred last week in Minneapolis. And right now, as a country, we're going through a difficult time with COVID-19 and then what has transpired in the last week and a half, which is years and years and years of frustration and years and years and years of people calling for change and calling for help, and we haven't seen enough change, and we aren't listening to the message. And we're going to start it off with combining that with football today, where the Colin Kaepernick national anthem protest, or protesting during the national anthem, did come up once again. And it was actually comments by Drew Brees, which has elicit a response that is not in a positive way for Drew Brees, and I totally understand the reaction. So right out of the gate, and we'll talk about the history of this, and we will talk about the response as well that has been really drawn from not only a lot of players around the National Football League, but also some New Orleans Saints players in Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, and probably the most powerful one did come from Malcolm Jenkins in an Instagram video. Let me first, though, play you the comments. We have two cuts here. This is Drew Brees saying he will never agree with disrespecting the flag. This courtesy of Yahoo Finance.
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II.
That's the first cut. Before we give you a response, let's play you cut number two. This is Drew Brees saying not kneeling is a sign of unity, also courtesy of Yahoo Finance.
Is everything right with our country right now? No, it's not. We still have a long way to go. But I think what you do by standing there and showing respect to the flag with your hand over your heart is it shows unity. It shows that we are all in this together. We can all do better. and that we are all part of the solution.
Here is what I'll say, and I don't agree with Drew Brees' comments. I'm not going to trash Drew Brees, and there's a reason for that. And we need to do something, and it's very simple, and I've been saying this message all throughout the week. We need to start listening. I understand the United States flag means a lot to many people. You know, even Cedric Maxwell, who joined us yesterday, and we talked about the racism that he faced growing up as a kid, whose father did serve in Vietnam, and then he comes back into the country, and he couldn't even, as a kid, go into a bathroom at, what, a rest stop or a gas station without his father having to deal with racism. And that flag, it's powerful to a lot of people. But what continues to get lost in this message, and I'm not going to tell you how you should interpret the American flag, but what continues to get lost in this message, and I'll be the first one to say it, I did not recognize this at the time back in 2016 when Colin Kaepernick did start his protests. But through listening, through talking to people of all different colors and all different backgrounds and all different views, I did change my opinion over time. And it's okay to change your opinion over time. But when I first saw the initial protest, when I first saw it, I thought, like many other people, that it was offensive to the military. And by thinking that, I think there are many good intentions. But once I did listen, and yes, for some it's tough to get past the Castro shirt and the pig cop socks that Colin Kaepernick did wear and that he wore. And I can understand that too. And there's been some problems in the way that Colin Kaepernick has put out the message. But if you really think about it, and if you go into an NFL locker room like I have, and talk to Malcolm Jenkins, and talk to Chris Long, and talk to Torrey Smith, and talk to many other people, NFL or not, this issue about protesting during the national anthem, it continues to be ignored what the actual protest is about. And that was the turning point to me. When I sat back and listened a few years ago, I changed my opinion. And I'm coming from someone whose family has had a military background as well, with both of my grandfathers. And I have great respect for our military. But when you listen to the message of Colin Kaepernick and many other players, their message was, we want a level playing field. We're protesting police brutality. We're protesting social injustice. What they were protesting was what we exactly saw a week ago. They don't want, we don't want, another situation like George Floyd to ever occur again. And that's what the protest was about. And whenever you protest, clearly you're protesting over a divisive topic. When you protest to get your message out effectively, it's sometimes going to make people feel uncomfortable. And yes, I could understand the optics when you're protesting during the national anthem, whether you're on a knee or however you may protest, there's going to always be people that say, that's disrespectful to the flag. And it's tough to change that opinion. But if you listen and if you hear why the protests were happening, I could say to myself, I understand it. And I think they're using their platform to the best of their ability. But throughout all this, and let's be real, a lot of it starts at the top with the President of the United States, and I know we don't try to get too political on this show, but when he called the players a bunch of you-know-what for protesting and how he would rip them off the field, that continues to push the narrative that what the players were doing was disrespectful to the flag. When time in and time again, the players have said it over and over again that they're not being disrespectful to the military with their intention. They're not being disrespectful to the flag, but they are protesting and getting your attention on a message that obviously needs to be heard and has been ignored for a long time. I also saw Aaron Rodgers today say, a few years ago, we were criticized for locking arms in solidarity before the game. It has never been about an anthem or a flag, Rodgers wrote. Not then, not now. Listen with an open heart. Let's educate ourselves and then turn word and thought into action. So here's what I'll say to Drew Brees. You should be proud of your family history. You should be proud of the military. You should be proud of the people that do protect us and the great heroes that protect us. Once again, though, what Colin Kaepernick and many other players were doing, it wasn't a sign in their mind, and their intentions weren't to disrespect your grandfathers. But then, once again, I'm sure there are also many players who grandfathers served, and then when they came back after being heroes, they got treated like garbage because of the color of their skin. And I'll give you the perfect example. We'll play you that audio right here. Here is Cedric Maxwell with us yesterday about something that he saw at a young age with the situation with his brothers and then also his father and mother.
In my early years, with my mother and father, we were going through Georgia. And it was like during the 60s. And we stopped at a gas station to get gas for our car. And we got the gas, and my brother and I, we were small. We went into the bathroom and used it. And then after we came back out, I guess the guy hadn't seen us, and my mom was following us in. And the gentleman said, no, you can't go in here. Your bathroom is out in the grease pits. And, oh, my God, my father, who is a Vietnam veteran who had been wounded, just all of a sudden just whips the gas thing out and said, I can't believe this. You know, I fought for this country, almost died for this country. And I can't use the bathroom. That shaped a young man like me. And it made me think about, wow, it's the insensitivity of people during that time or just basically how life was. So, yeah, that was moving.
And that's what Drew Brees doesn't understand. People fight for our freedom. They come back to our country. And they don't get treated the right way. So when I hear Drew Brees say, quote, I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country, maybe Drew Brees should have some more conversations with his teammates. And maybe he should listen. Because once again, and we go down this road every time we get in this conversation, and it turns into yelling. I could give you the greatest 15 minutes of radio and make a ton of sense. But the minute when we open up the conversation, it goes to yelling just on your side. And I remember I did a radio show in Philadelphia, 97.5 The Fanatic, the day or the day after when President Trump said what he said. We're yanked the players off the field. They're a bunch of bitches. When he said that, you know, son of bitches, whatever he said. And when he said that, I said something very similar in what I said in this open. And I had someone call me up right away. The first caller, second caller I took, I'll never forget this, said, you hate the military and you hate cops. And that was a moment when I realized, no matter what you say, and I believe what I say, and I think what I'm saying is right, there's always going to be someone that's not going to listen and is not going to get it. And I told that person, maybe you should come down to the studios afterwards. Look at my car. I have an NYPD sticker on it. I say this all the time. We need the great cops. We don't need the bad cops. I also have had family members that have been in the military. So how can you sit there and say I'm anti-military and anti-cops just because I'm willing to listen to what the actual protest was about? And you're not always going to get it right away. You may never get it. And it's all about your individual background. And people are going to always take things differently. And I'm sure you could go back and see some of my initial takes on the protests and how I thought it was disrespectful to the military and all that. But through time, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, I've tweeted it before and I'll say it on the radio, when you listen and you hear what someone that looks different than you is going through and what they are protesting about, if you still sit back and say, man, it's disrespectful to the flag, and you still think, like Drew Brees, that he'll never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag, I'll then ask this. Why is it disrespectful? Because their intentions aren't to disrespect the flag. That's when these players think they had an opportunity in such a powerful moment to show America we have a problem and we need to address it. And I've talked to many in the military, and some have told me they think it's disrespectful. Some have told me that what Kaepernick did is a reason why they wanted to get involved and why they did serve. And those are the freedoms that they fought for. So when I hear what Drew Brees said, and I understand how powerful of the flag is, and I've talked about it before, where the national anthem to me is such a special moment. If it takes players raising a fist or dropping down on one knee during the anthem to help black people and help minorities who go through social injustice and police brutality, then I'm for it. And I could understand why it makes people feel uncomfortable. I could understand why people say it's disrespectful. But once again, we need to stop pushing away the issue. And we need to stop ignoring the issue. And when Drew Brees says something like that, even though his intentions may have been good, it could hurt a lot of people. And it could infuriate a lot of people, because you have someone like Malcolm Jenkins who knows Drew Brees, has been a teammate, and is currently a teammate of Drew Brees, and he could get frustrated because it's putting down the call for help. Here is Malcolm Jenkins. This is what he said not that long ago. This is Malcolm Jenkins talking about Drew Brees.
Our communities are under siege, and we need help. And what you're telling us is, don't ask for help that way. Ask for a different way. I can't listen to it when you ask that way. We're done asking, Drew. And people who share your sentiments, who express those, and push them throughout the world, the airways, are the problem. And it's unfortunate, because I considered you a friend. I looked up to you. You're somebody who I had a great deal of respect for. But sometimes you should shut the f*** up.
Powerful words from Malcolm Jenkins. And that protest and what players did is a call for help. We saw Emmanuel Sanders comment as well, shaking my head, ignorant. We saw Michael Thomas tweet out, we don't care if you don't agree, and whoever else, how about that? And then he also did say he don't know no better. That's what Michael Thomas did say as well. And what a lot of people forget, and I've had a few conversations over the years with Nate Boyer, and I bet you if you ask Nate, even he has grown frustrated with how people don't listen Nate Boyer talked to Colin Kaepernick after he first saw him protesting. If you don't know who Nate Boyer is, played college football at Texas, got a chance in the NFL with, I believe, the Seattle Seahawks, and he's a Green Beret. He was the one that recommended to Colin Kaepernick to kneel, to take a knee. So remember that as well. Bottom line for me on this topic. Yes, that anthem means a lot to many people. It should mean a lot to you. But if we still can't get that players weren't protesting against the military, weren't protesting to be disrespectful, then I really don't know what to say anymore at this point. Because it wasn't meant to be disrespectful. It wasn't meant to say we shouldn't love and respect the military. It was a platform that they used, and when you look back at it, used correctly to implore and advocate for change and start conversations on how we get that change with all that has happened in the world when it comes to police brutality and social injustice. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. It is the Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio. And when we come on back, we will talk about Vic Fangio's comments as well.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Zach Gelb.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Geico's introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies. For current and new customers that last your full policy term, visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Two tweets I saw during the break at Diana Rossini, Diana ESPN. I reached out to some Saints players about quarterback Drew Brees' comments. Many don't want to give quotes to the media at this time. I'm told there is a plan for a team meeting to discuss this in-house. So that is what you get when you already have, we played you the Malcolm Jenkins comments. We have read you the tweets from Emmanuel Sanders and Michael Thomas as well. I also saw this, and he's a retired player and a player that will be going to the Hall of Fame very soon, you know, once he's eligible. Julius Peppers wrote, if you're still talking about players disrespecting the flag by kneeling during the national anthem, clearly you're not ready for these conversations. Call a timeout and come back later. And when I look at this, at first back in 2016, when the protests did occur first, I had that reaction. You know, it's disrespectful to our military. It's disrespectful to the country and the flag. But then when you really do listen, and you hear why the protest is going on, and you see what has happened last week and many other times, unfortunately, in our country, you need to sit back and listen and realize the protest isn't being done to be disrespectful to the military. It isn't being done to disrespect the flag. What is happening is that is the platform that some players and Colin Kaepernick thought was the best one to utilize to get the message across. That for years and years and years, we've had black people and minorities calling for help, saying, we need change. This is going on. This is wrong. And we haven't been listening. Now, I remember being in that locker room in Philadelphia, when Malcolm Jenkins, the day he stood up with those signs, and he didn't say anything, and he wrote, you aren't listening. And now is the time, if you haven't listened before, that now we have to listen. And I understand why people can see the protest and see it and say, you know, that's disrespectful to the country. I could understand that, especially if you have a loved one that made the ultimate sacrifice to protect our freedom. I get that. I totally do. But with that being said, whenever a protest happens, it's going to make people feel uncomfortable. But do we look at a protest and only listen for a week? or are we going to keep on listening until change happens? And through time, and I would really say it was in 2018, when after fully listening, where I said, even though there were some problems with the way that Kaepernick put out his message, like I said, the pig cop socks and the Castro shirt, and I get that. But when you listen to the real message and you listen to the social injustice that goes on in this country, why would I be critical of the protests? I'm not going to be. And I bet you this, in 2020, whenever football does come back, and if you maybe don't have fans in the stands early on and more people are going to be watching on television, I could guarantee you the protests are going to come back and we're going to get all back into the same conversations. Many of the same shows are going to do, oh, is it disrespectful to the country or is it not? This and that, this and that. How about we listen more and take action? And I don't know what the proper action is. I don't have the answers to that. But let's try to find a solution to the problem so we don't have another situation like George Floyd where he gets murdered for absolutely no reason. And I saw a video yesterday, and it absolutely ripped my heart out. And I have a lot of great respect for Stephen Jackson. A lot of great respect for Stephen Jackson. And I saw a video yesterday of Stephen Jackson holding George Floyd's daughter. And she said in the video, "Daddy changed the world." I think she's 8 years old too. And that was such a powerful moment. And think about that. George Floyd's daughter, and I saw her mother say this in a very emotional and moving press conference yesterday. That daughter will never have her father at a high school graduation. Her daughter will never have her father walk her down the aisle when she gets married. And what's the reason because of it? It's because of violence and senseless acts of violence that should never happen. And when I say all these things, it's not anti-military. I love the military. It's not anti-police. How many times do I have to say it? We need good cops. We don't need the bad cops. And I've said it before. I would not want to ever be a police officer with what they have to go through as well on a daily basis. But it's really time as a country where we need to have a level playing field. And racism should never be tolerated. And for some people, unfortunately, it's just a reality. You're never going to change them. And unfortunately, what happened to George Floyd is going to happen again with the way that you look at as what has transpired in America. But hopefully, through listening, through education, and through acknowledging that there is a problem, we can decrease future situations of this. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Vic Fangio yesterday, when talking about this issue, said, "You earn what you get." When talking about the NFL, "You get what you earn. I don't see racism at all in the NFL. I don't see discrimination in the NFL." Vic Fangio, what I think he was trying to say was when you go into a locker room, and for players, it doesn't matter if you're black or white, whoever is the best will get on the field. That is what I think Vic Fangio was trying to say. But where he messed up in a big way, and has since apologized, where he said, "I don't see racism at all in the NFL. I don't see discrimination in the NFL." Didn't we just recently have a conversation on how the NFL is altering the Rooney Rule and trying to alter the Rooney Rule? How the NFL said there's a problem? And yes, what they were talking about with incentivizing teams to hire minority candidates or draft picks, that was tabled, and that was not a bright idea. And as Anthony Lynn put it perfectly on the show, sometimes you do the wrong thing while trying to do the right thing. But when you look around the league and you see how many minorities are in the league, and we have three black head coaches in the league, four minority coaches in the league, and two black general managers, it shows you there's problems. And when you hear stories from other coaches about a lot of the roadblocks that they have had to face because of the color of their skin to just get a job in the National Football League as a coach, not necessarily even a head coach, it shows you that there's a problem. So there is racism. There is discrimination. Now, a locker room can be very powerful. And we've heard players talk about how powerful the locker room is, but it still doesn't mean that there isn't racism and that there isn't discrimination. To be fair to Vic Fangio, I will read you his apology as well, the statement that he did send out today. After reflecting on my comments yesterday and listening to the players this morning, I realized what I said regarding racism and discrimination in the NFL was wrong. While I have never personally experienced those terrible things firsthand during my 33 years in the NFL, I understand that many players, coaches, and staff have different perspectives. I should have been more clear, and I am sorry. I wanted to make the point yesterday that there is no color within the locker rooms I have been in or the playing fields I have coached on. Unfortunately, we don't live or work only within those confines outside of those lines. Both the NFL and society, there is a lot of work to be done in the areas of diversity and providing opportunities across the board for minorities. As the head coach, I look forward to listening to the players both individually and collectively to support them and work hand in hand to create meaningful change. That's Vic Fangio. And another thing you keep on hearing is white privilege. And for a while, I didn't understand white privilege either. But it's stuff like this where we see examples of it where you don't think it's occurring because it hasn't affected you. And now through the power of social media, even though social media can be a cesspool at times, there also can be a lot of great things that happen on social media. And raising awareness to issues is that. And now I think that if you haven't been made aware of the issue before, and there's a difference if you want to embrace the issue or not, but if you haven't been made aware of the issue before, now you're seeing that fully. If you haven't seen that this past week and a half, then you just don't want to see it. But we need change. We need to address the problem. And once again, how do we do that? I don't know. But where does it start? Through listening and education. We'll come on back. We will chat some about the NBA details on their return to play.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio.
So really good stuff with Anthony Lynn. Todd in Green Bay next up on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Todd?
Hey, Zach. That was the best interview I've ever heard from a radio sports guy. You asked the right questions, and he gave you the right answer, and it makes me feel good. The last 25 minutes, probably was the best thing that's happened to me in probably a couple years. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing it.
Here's Zach Gelb.
I appreciate that. Coming up later on in the show, Larry Scott, the Pac-12 commissioner, is going to join us at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. And then at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, we'll chat some hoops with Justin Termini on a Wednesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So we were talking yesterday about how it's going to be 22 teams and there was going to be some version of a regular season and then potentially play-in games. And then you go into the playoffs with your 16 teams. And it was tough to envision, even with having that information, how it would work out. And I thought, like many, all right, you would have a few regular season games. And then with whatever teams you had from eight and below, like in the Eastern Conference, it would have been the Wizards as the nine, and you have the Magic as the eight. And even if there was a separation there, and the Magic actually improved their record, then why would they have to then go have a play-in against the Wizards? And in the Western Conference, you thought with the, I think it was six additional teams or whatever the number was, that all those teams would be eligible to then make the postseason after the regular season concluded. Well, we got some details today on the format, and here is what the format is. The plan includes 13 Western Conference teams and 9 Eastern Conference teams. There will be 8 regular season games, a possible play-in tournament for the 8th seed only, and then playoffs. That's what sources told Adrian Wojnarowski. So your teams that will be involved are the current 1-8 in the East, 1-8 in the West. In addition to that, though, you have the Pelicans, the Trailblazers, the Spurs, the Kings, and the Phoenix Suns. So there will be 5 additional teams in the Western Conference, and then 1 additional team in the East in the Washington Wizards. So how this will work is they will play 8 regular season games, all the teams, all 22 teams. And I was reading online, this wasn't the Woj report, this is from someone else, but I was reading online that you would just pick off, you know, pick up where you left off on your schedule. And if the team isn't in the bubble in Orlando, then you will just skip that game and go to the next one until you get 8 games played. That's what I've read. We'll find out more of the details tomorrow. But in terms of the actual format for the play-in tournament, it will only include, after those 8 regular season games, the 8th seed and the 9th seed. And if the 9th seed finishes the regular season within 4 games of the 8th seed, so the only way you get the play-in games are if the difference between the 8th and the 9th seed is 4 games or less. If it's larger than 4, so let's say the Wizards and Magic, and the Magic stays, let's just say the 8 and the Nets don't drop, which they could. If the Wizards are, or if the Magic are 5 games or better than the Wizards, there's no play-in game. Magic go to the postseason. In the Western Conference, if all those teams that are added in, the Pelicans, the Trailblazers, the Spurs, the Kings, and the Suns, if it is not 4 games or less, there is no playing game. It has to be 4 games or less. Here's my thing with this, and I've said it from the start, that I would have just gone right to the playoffs with whoever were the 1-8 seeds in the East and the West, and then you go out and you play your postseason, you try to do it as quick as possible. If they would have told me in this proposal that you're playing 8 regular season games and inviting 22 teams, I would be actually okay with that. I would not have a negative reaction to it. But to play those 8 regular season games and then say, well, if you're within 4 games in the standings between the 8th and the 9th seed, then we're going to have a play-in game where if you're the 8th seed, you have to lose twice. And if you're the 9th seed, you only get eliminated by losing once. It doesn't make sense to me. What's the purpose of playing these regular season games other than knock off some rust and maybe improve some seeding? And you'll have this chase for the 9th seed within 4 games. To me, it's a lot of work being done for 2 playoff spots, where most of the times in the NBA, and I know people will say, well, what about when Don Nelson's Warriors defeated the Mavs? And what about the Knicks in 99 in that strike-shortened season when an 8 seed in the East went to the finals? You get some instances of that. You get the Sixers defeating the Bulls as an 8-1. That happens. But it doesn't happen often. So to create a big fuss and to have regular season games and then potential playing games, it doesn't make sense to me. You know, come back, do your 8 regular season games, and if you're not in the 8th seed, sorry, you don't make the playoffs. It's that simple. And here's what they're doing. What they're doing, the NBA, because it's not really caring for the Eastern Conference. Do you think the NBA cares if Orlando or the Wizards are the 8th spot? No, they don't care about that. It's all about the Eastern Conference. And Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies should be a good enough story with the lead that they currently have to go right to the playoffs or just do the regular season and then from there the playoffs. But what the NBA is doing is they're doing everything in their power to try to get the Memphis Grizzlies out of the playoff picture. Why? Because out of those teams that are remaining that are going to be allowed in the bubble to the Western Conference, Portland, the Pelicans, the Kings, the Spurs, and the Suns, they don't care about the Kings. They don't care about the Spurs right now. They don't care about the Suns. They're doing everything in their power to say goodbye to Memphis or try to get Memphis out. Just get within four games and be the ninth seed if you're the Pelicans or the Trailblazers. So we could try to get Damian Lillard or Zion Williamson in the postseason. That's what they're trying to do. Because even if you are just within four games and that's the ninth seed and you get that opportunity, they're giving you a chance to try to make the postseason there for what? It doesn't make sense to me. Have the regular season, and after those eight final regular season games and whatever you decide, you go right to the playoffs. So the Grizzlies, after these eight games, could be maybe 4-3 games better potentially, or 2-1 than Portland and the Pelicans. But let's just say it's 4-3. They could be 4-3 games better than, let's just say, the Pelicans jump past the Trailblazers, or you could say that the Trailblazers stay at the nine, whatever you want. But one of those teams are the ninth seed, and they are 4-3 games better. You're telling me if that Portland team then beats Memphis 2 out of 3 times, they go to the playoffs? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't. Now, if they're 1 or 2 games behind, a little bit different. But 4 or 3 games behind, why? So what they should have done, and I'm still sticking by this, go right to the playoffs 1-8, 1-8 right now. But if you wanted to open up the field and create more potential money and get more fan bases involved and more players involved, you just simply do the regular season. So what do you think about this NBA format that's going to be passed tomorrow? I don't get it. I don't get regular season and then playing games and then the double elimination if you're the eighth seed and then a single elimination if you're the ninth seed. Doesn't make sense to me. How about you? We open up the phones next. 855-212-4227. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.